Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is a Lip Media podcast.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we are recording. We pay our respect to elders past and present and the Aboriginal elders of other communities who may be listening today.
Well, welcome back to our after show. Oh. Many thanks to our paying subscribers.
This is the cash club.
Yeah. Thanks for the dollars.
Yes. Christmas is on its way.
It is.
A whole year is flying by, which is fucking terrifying.
Mm-hmm. It's insane.
Christmas jingles are very triggering for me, for someone who's worked in retail.
Mariah's
but,
cashing in
a lot of people are
check.
Shopping for their little nephews and all their little kids in their lives. Sorry, I'm just thinking of gunkles, but like, I forget there are other people like with children in their lives. And it comes to like buying toys and stuff like that. And I'm not sure if you guys saw a little while ago, but Kmart had a big thing. They were selling little family sets of like little dolls, like a mum and a dad and like a kid and a dog or a cat. Mm-hmm. But a lot of them included a mum and a mum and a dad and a dad.
Yeah. Mm.
And it was like this whole, big thing. I think they sold out within the first week of
having
them.
Yeah, which is
amazing. And then, yeah.
You know, I tell you what, I reckon that was a production fuck up that some marketing person was like, sweet. You know, just the machine started packing two boys, two girls. Oh, and they were like, perfect.
But then, and then there were like people ordering them online. But then the whole thing, if you ordered them online, is you couldn't actually pick what kind of family you wanted.
Yeah, which people were upset about. But I kind of like that.
It because it's like, if you want this toy, you have to force other ideas of like what a family can be to exist. Yeah. So you get whatever you get.
Yeah.
I didn't like it because then I started to think, what about if someone ordered this and like you could get any homosexual? What about if the toys arrived and it was Tom and I in the box?
Oh, no. For example.
Like I'd want to say,
I'm the kid.
I'd want to be able to pick. I at least want like some established lesbians in their 60s. Or maybe some Instagram gaze.
They need to really like.
I don't know if you saw it, but the dads definitely looked like Instagram gaze.
Oh, they did. It was so funny because they looked like preppy white boys. Who were the dads, and then they had the daughter with like the platinum blonde hair and like the pink bows, who looked like really pristine. Mm. It was interesting, but how funny. So, what kind of toys did you guys have growing up? Did you predominantly play with boy toys or girl toys?
Yeah, it's an interesting thing.
It's really, what does that even mean?
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? What does it mean? Which is why I strongly feel like it was a good thing that they weren't letting you choose.
Yeah, I like that they had
because at the end of the day, the idea is it just shouldn't matter what toy. If kids are playing with toys, they're playing with toys.
Well, it shouldn't let straight people choose, but gay people like should be able to choose the gay.
Well, look, we can go out and get other specific toys if we want to.
That's true.
But again, for gay people having kids, I highly doubt that they are that fussed. Like, it's just about a kid playing with
and
the
like
family.
How nice for kids who do have same sex parents to be able to see their own family in toys.
Absolutely,
like,
amazing.
That's such a rare thing, I bet.
Mm. I think it's nicer for the friends of the
kids. Oh, that's
you know
true.
What I mean?
Hey.
For like the people outside, because I'm sure Rainbow Family has things like the Gender Fairy, the book that
Joe Hurst book.
Those environments are probably quite supportive and have the tools and the toys and the resources. It's the fact that this stuff could be widely available to other families.
Yeah. And detrimental in like introducing this normal idea to young kids.
Yeah, and this stuff happens by accident. Parents go out and they're like, oh, just pick it up, you know, and they might accidentally pick up the homosexual family play kit and not realize and give it to the kids. And suddenly they've normalized this beautiful rainbow family.
Mm. It's actually, I think, more important for kids that end up being heterosexual or grow up in a heterosexual family. I think a lot of the issues that we're seeing with things like domestic violence, with a lot of different addictions and stuff with heterosexual men especially, but there's also a lot of issues that can come for heterosexual cis women, come as a result of these expectations that were put on them. They were, they were, the girls were told that they would be good housewives, and obviously this is not for all families, but a lot of the issues that we're seeing come from families where the girls were told that they would be the housewife, and so they have these expectations on themselves, and then they might grow up, you know, not actually wanting to have kids but feeling like they have to, or not wanting to be a homemaker but feeling like they have to, and the same can happen for men that are told that they have to go out and get a trade, or they have to be good at sports and that sort of thing.
All the truck toys.
In a weird way, we're kind of lucky that once we come out, we're surrounded by a community that is very encouraging of us to not necessarily follow gender roles and gender stereotypes. Whereas those people in a lot of heterosexual communities are still expected up into their adult life, and that's where a lot of depression and a lot of issues can come as a result of that, I think.
Definitely. And a lot of dabbing.
What's dabbing?
Dabbing.
Oh, when they do. Oh, is that dabbing. Sorry, I'm not familiar with straight culture. Yeah, sorry, you'll need to. Where they put their hand over the. Yeah, right. Now.
Gender. I had a toy. I just realized when you asked that question. I had a toy when I was a kid. It was a little battery operated fireman, and you put him at the base of this ladder, and you could stack more ladders on the top of it, but eventually he would just get to the top and tumble off of it and fall to his death.
Oh, Jesus.
And then you just pick him up and put him back at the bottom of the ladder. And now that I think about that, that had a really strong impact on my worldview. Setting him up to fall.
As a kid, I wanted what was traditionally girls' toys. And really, at the end of the day, toys do not have a gender. So when I'm talking about girls' toys and boys' toys, they're not things that I believe.
You can't
but what
fuck
traditionally.
Sorry.
I'm referring to things that people traditionally refer to as boys. So like, I wanted girls' toys. I wanted tutus, and I wanted dolls, and I wanted kitchen sets and that sort of stuff. And Mum bought them for me. I think Dad was not very happy about it, but Mum bought them. But even then, it was sort of like when other kids came around, those toys got put away. And I think that was my parents trying to do the best thing and try to save me embarrassment and try to save me from getting bullied. But what it ended up doing was made me feel guilty about wanting to play with those toys and keeping my desires secret. And it was sort of teaching me in a weird way to bundle these feelings up. Conversely, I now see, so my brother, and I've mentioned this before, so I won't go on about it for too long, but my brother now has two kids, one's three and one's not yet one. And his son, the three-year-old, Archie, my brother's very, what we would say, is traditionally heterosexual, and he's a tradie and that sort of thing, into his footy and down the pub and lives in the suburb next to Mum and Dad's and that sort of stuff. But his son, I was really nervous about buying presents for him for the first couple of years, because like, I don't want to make you uncomfortable. Like, I don't look like I'm forcing something onto your son. He's your son to raise, but as the gay uncle, I kind of want to get him a doll and that sort of shit.
Yeah.
And it has been so refreshing to see them buying him the kitchen play sets. And if he's got an Elsa dress because he loves Frozen, he loves Elsa, he's
so
got his dolls and that sort of stuff, and he picks what he wants and that's what he gets. One thing that nearly brought me to tears is recently on Facebook, my brother posted a picture of his fingernails that had been painted, because my nephew's gotten into painting fingernails.
Yeah.
So he's been doing my brother's fingernails, and then my brother's mates were all posting their nails my nephew had done for them at a barbecue that they'd had.
He's starting a business.
Beautiful. Because Robbie's had, my brother had painted Archie just got some new pink fingernail polish, so I've just done my fingernails pink. And so his mates were posting, mine's a bit chipped, Archie, and I got the red. When are you going to do my pink?
Can we get Archie around the recording?
We should get him coming down.
I would love that.
But it's just refreshing to see in one generation. Like, my parents were trying to do the right thing, but still felt the need to keep it quiet and that sort of stuff. To now my brother, who I to be honest, probably had some reservations and was concerned that maybe he would want to have a similar way of raising his son, being proud to post it on his social media, and all of his mates then jumping on board and posting on it as well. Yeah.
No, that's so good to hear.
Yeah, it really gives me hope for the future.
I really enjoyed playing with like a lot of action figures and fantasy type toys growing up, but I always remember this curiosity with like Barbies and stuff like that. And I remember my cousin had all these like pop star themed Barbies, which like sat on a shelf, and I just like would always go play with them when I would visit. Ty, my brother, he loved Ariel as a kid, like obsessed with the Little Mermaid. And he really, really wanted a mermaid Barbie, and my dad didn't want him
refused.
To. Yeah, so my aunt, as like a fuck you, like bought him one. But he was just most upset because it wasn't actually Ariel, it was a generic Barbie.
Yeah.
It was a generic mermaid Barbie.
Yeah.
Wasn't the right one. But
and I think parents don't realize it. So what they're doing when they're saying this to their kids is that they're that's the relationship that the kid is growing up to have. So your brother and his father relationship started at that point when he was saying, no, you cannot be Ariel. That's the start of their relationship for the rest of their lives now. Whereas his relationship with his auntie, who's getting the Ariel costume, my grandmother was the same. She, when I went around to her place, I'd get her heels out and I'd get her dresses out and we'd parade around the house and there was no hiding it. And when I was getting older and ready to come out, she was one of the first people I told, whereas dad was one of the last people I told, because our relationship from that early stage had started of, no, we keep that sort of stuff quiet. Like, yes, it's okay that it happens, but we keep it quiet and we don't talk about it, kind of.
I think that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
Because I did see your brother dragging mermaids out of the ocean and beating the shit out of them.
Yeah, as they should be. But yeah, no, I think one of the best toys that which we had a lot of as a kid, and I think is great, is Lego, because it's so open to interpretation. You can do whatever you want with it. It encourages creativity.
Yeah.
We were so attached to our Lego. I think we still have it now because we could not bear to part with it. So we just carted it around from every house we moved to. We just had this old box of Lego.
Well, I think they removed the boy because, you know, it has the age.
Yeah.
I think it's like 9 to 99 or whatever they're famous for
saying. Oh, yeah, 99
And they've removed
plus.
The boys and girls from, because they used to
have because you can be whatever
and stuff, and it's now just whichever one you want.
And
yeah.
you can create whatever you want. Yeah. It's really good for that.
Yeah, they did say creative toys. Mm-hmm. Like if I ever had children.
Yeah, it would only be that.
Things where they create their own. I sound like a social media. create their own content.
No, but stuff like Meccano.
I used to get.
I think it's also good for them to have. I mean, kids want to role play. Like in, at school, we used to, you know, play houses and that sort of stuff. I think it's okay for them to also have dolls and place, like, you know, tea sets and that sort of stuff. But I just think we should be not restricting that for that's for the girls to play
with. Just let them do what they
like,
want.
Like, great if your son wants to pretend to be a dad or pretend to be a mum. Like, it doesn't fucking
matter.
I was
really surprised to find out recently that Duncan had Barbies growing up. He said he wanted the one with the longest hair.
No, I can believe that.
I think that's fantastic.
I was like, that's really great. Yeah, like farm boy with Barbies, cute, adorable.
I think it's similar to our previous topic in that we've noticed a change in the younger generations and we're seeing that society is more accepting and moving in a specific direction.
Yeah.
It's just not getting there as fast as...
I know.
Because we want to see it too. You know, it's kind of an inevitability that I could tell in 50 years' time we're going to have... totally non-binary toys and
it's not like the kids' room painted blue or pink as you like the get-go.
It's like really clear that's the direction we're heading in.
And you know what? It's in a weird way exciting to see toys like or companies like Kmart who have don't give a shit
got
about
a clue.
Society.
Yeah.
They give a shit about money. And so if they've decided that it is financially beneficial for them to start releasing toys like
pink
this,
dollar.
Then that means that it is becoming more and more common in society. Like the three of us are a little bit out of touch with what kids want because we don't have our own, but we can see it in our families and that sort of thing. We can see it in families and friends' kids and that sort of stuff. If companies are starting to do it, big companies are starting to do it, not just niche companies, I think that's a really exciting step.
That said, I was looking at, do you all ever get Wish on your Facebook?
I see people constantly posting their updates of what Wish's suggestions are.
Yeah, my suggestions are
always weird
sex
stuff.
Always
weird sex
stuff. And then kids' toys.
Yeah, right.
It's like...
We'll probably like they've got your sister has kids, so...
No, I think it's what I look at. It's like Pokemon stuff.
Oh, yeah. True.
They're like, this is is either a 13-year-old
weird
boy or a 33-year-old homosexual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Wish got me red.
I think I even saw studies that spoke about like how people's attitude towards gender roles, even within same-sex couples, and how they associate like maybe the more feminine person in the relationship having to be the one who does all the cooking.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
And the masculine
that, it's that age-old question
the
of like,
winner.
Oh, which one of you is the wife?
Yeah, it's so ridiculous.
Yeah, and again, this goes back to what we were talking about in the main episode about heterosexual people needing to compare it, like
and
have
just box
a,
it in,
have
and
a box
just be able
that
to understand
put
it
into.
They're like very simple.
I think people need boxes. And I think that's why it trickles into same-sex relationships too. Even though we're fully aware of it, we still do it within our community somewhat.
Yeah.
And there are reports that we assign certain gender
roles everyone's always
within
trying to...
our relationships because we're constantly trying to make sense of the world, which is a nonsensical thing.
Yes.
And human beings copy and repeat. So if we see something over and over again, we then try and repeat it and apply it to our own lives. Yeah.
I love getting asked who's the... who's the man and who's the
woman. I'm like, actually, we're both men because we're a gay relationship.
Yeah, I love it.
And that's the whole idea, really.
It's such a good like, opportunity for a bit.
Oh, like, you can
pick up so many jokes.
I'm just the only thing that offends me about these family play sets is that they haven't released my family playset, which is just me and a sausage dog and a Netflix account and an Uber Eats bag. That would be
and a little
my
popper.
Personal. A little amyl
bottle. I think they were getting flack because they haven't had any people of color in the playsets.
I think 2 out of 3 were.
So obviously they have room for improvement.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, hopefully it's the start of something and we'll see a lot more in it. Kmart's on the right track.
I want to see a family set which is 6 gay dudes in one bar.
Yeah. And it's like a bathroom.
Yeah, you just swap them.
Stop.
Shady. Yeah. And they're all blonde white guys.
Like harnesses with glitter.
Or wearing plaid shirts and you just swap them around. They are the same.
Well, thanks again to our Patreon subscribers for your dollars.
Thank you
and for putting up with us.
And for putting up with us. Of course, the money that you guys have pledged has put on our last Melbourne show, our last Adelaide show, and it's also putting on our Sydney and our next Melbourne show. So,
if you keep giving us money, maybe we can get better recording equipment.
And we won't lose another episode.
Oh, is that what happened?
I don't know.
It was a corrupted.
No, it was the bar. It was Adelaide's.
Bye.
Bye.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to our exclusive after show, our version of Big Brother Up Late. this week, if you've not listened to the main episode, we're joined by Will and Beck, and we're going to delve into another fan-suggested topic, one that I'm ill-equipped to lead because it is about feelings and emotions. What they wanted to know was our stories about our first true loves, which is usually, for me, our first heartbreaks as well. I always find it interesting because, as we touched on in the main show, we have these ideas that we get from mainstream media about heteronormative love and relationships. And the reality when we come out into the big gay world is our relationships are like, what the fuck? They're nothing like what I expected, because they're none of these stories that I've grown up with. For me, I have a very, like, distant relationship with love. Like, it makes me even a bit uncomfortable talking about it, because I think every time I've been in a long-term relationship, I've had 4 relationships long-term, like 3 to 4 years, and I've thought, oh, this one is love. Like, oh, I love this guy, I love this man, this is what love is. And then we break up because I'm a terrible person, and I meet someone new and it feels completely different, and I realize, oh no, this is love. That last thing was just like good sex. And then that falls apart and I realize, oh no, that was just codependence. But this new guy, I really love this guy. And they feel nothing alike. So I don't know where this universal, like, pie in the sky, like, when you meet the one, you'll know it's the one and it has this very specific feeling. I just don't, to be honest, believe in it.
You didn't believe in love?
No.
Oh, God, your life is so depressing.
I just think, just like sex with a different person, love with a different person
can feel different.
Feels different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who was your first love, Will?
The guy that ran the social media account for a bookstore. It was actually really sweet. So I was running an event across the road from a bookstore, but someone was like, oh, do you have a copy of your book? I'd love it. If you've got one, I'll buy it off you. And I'm like, oh, I don't have one, but I can run across the road and buy one. So I ran to the bookseller across the road, and there was this snarky gay guy behind the counter. And I'm like, hi, do you have Loathing Lola by Will Kostarkis? And he's like, you look like Will Kostarkis. And I'm like, oh, which is like, you don't want to be seen buying your own book. And I'm like, I'm literally buying it for someone across the street. And he's like, yeah, sure. And he's like, no, we don't have it. So I awkwardly ran out of the store. And then I realized, wait, shit, I've got to buy Jane Eyre for university. So I ran back in and I went to the classics section. I was looking through and he walks past me and he's like, oh, honey, you won't find it in the classics. Oh. And I'm like,
oh my God, this is terrible. But also it was
he
really
was
funny.
He was on fire. Yeah. That day.
It was magic. And so I left. I bought the book because I was like, I had to buy Jane Eyre and I left. And like either he tweeted me or I tweeted him and we just, through the work account, then we ended up organizing a date for that night. And it went really well. I ended up seeing him for about 7 or 8 months, but it was that sort of, he was never my partner. He was my close friend. My friends never knew anything about him. If they ran into us, I sort of downplayed it. So I totally stuffed that one up. Mm. But like, he's still a really close friend and I'm really thankful to have him in my life. And now my books are in the classics, bitch. yeah.
Well, I was thinking about this. I think mine is, it was sort of someone I knew over a few months. It was less about me like falling in love with her and more about me realizing that love was an option, like falling in love with love, I guess. Wow, poetic. So basically I was like 18, I was living in Toowoomba. I was working as a cleaner in a food court, glamorous, and she started working at the sandwich shop, and there was just something like, because I hadn't been around gay people, and there was just like something, I could just sense something, like there was no clear signs, but I was just like, something about this is different. And so I sort of became obsessed with her, obviously. Yeah. And we started spending time together. And it all sort of culminated in this night where she invited me to this pub in Toowoomba that on one night a month had a gay night. Mm. And I was like, okay, well, this is real. Like, she's queer, obviously. And then we got there and she kissed me and I was like mind blown because I just never thought it would happen. I never thought I'd meet someone. And then we were hanging out at the pub and then like a bunch of her straight friends stumbled in and then she pretended that we were there as friends and hooked up with one of the guys that night. And I was heartbroken. So that's good.
Feel good story for the after show.
It was good. It was like, I'd obviously like we hadn't slept together or anything. It wasn't like true love, but it was just, it more opened my mind to like people exist. People will like you, this is a possibility, love is real and you can have it. Romantic and then obviously interest. My heart was stomped on, but to be heartbroken you must have love first.
And you got to feel that feeling of like jittery excitement and that sort of stuff. Yeah. Mine was a guy I went to high school with. We were best friends at sort of the end of high school. He was straight and we would sleep over at each other's place each night, like my place one night, his place the next night. And he knew that I was gay and that I had feelings for him and he was totally fine with it. Mm-hmm. And we would spoon and all that sort of stuff. And it was really lovely. He was just a really nice guy that was totally fine with the fact that his best friend was gay and kind of had a crush on him. And I definitely feel like that was the first time I experienced love. Mm-hmm. And I feel like he loved me back, but not in the same way, if that makes sense. Like he was very, looked after me, like, you know, always was looking out for me. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like a JB kind of love.
Yeah, exactly. Like JB love, but
that sounds like a really bad like Samantha Jade song. Like,
maybe it is.
Yeah, it was that sort of that thing you were talking about, Beck, about that excitement. That like I'd been attracted to men before and I'd had sex with people before, but I hadn't had that jittery excitement of, oh my God, like my heart swelling up when he would call and that sort of stuff. Mm. And that overwhelming sense of like you're supposed to be in the space with that person all the time. Mm-hmm. And we're still very good friends now. So and I still tell him I love him. Which I guess begs the question, does the love need to be required for it to be true love?
I don't think so. So like my first relationship lasted for 3 years and I lived with this man. It wasn't until like the breakdown of that relationship, he told me, do you know you've never said like the L word to me the whole time? Because I was so uncomfortable with the concept in general that it just wasn't part of my vocabulary. And I don't think I'd really emotionally matured enough to fully express love or feel it at that stage. So like, you thought I'm a nightmare now, back then, like it was much worse. But I do know in hindsight, he loved me very much. And the years we had together were very good. and we have some very fond memories, and that was a legitimate relationship. And I think I had some inklings of love towards him, but it wasn't like verbally reciprocated, and I don't think it was reciprocated in the like standard expected way that you would expect two couples to.
So, so you were an asshole for 3 years.
Yes, still am.
No, so basically you weren't giving it back the same way that he was giving it to you. You weren't expressing the love the same way that he was. Yeah.
I went there,
Like I had a lot of issues with love and like that whole idea for many, many years. And it's something I worked on over time to accept that, yeah, as a gay man, I could experience those feelings. Mm-hmm. You know, I would get inklings of it and actually push them out of my mind and out of my body, because I was like, no, that's not what gay people feel. We suffer and we have miserable lives, you know, and end up alone.
Yeah.
Don't go down that path. So that, yeah, took a lot of work to overcome and realize that, oh no, everyone feels feelings of love, romantic or platonic.
And I also think it is like there is so much emphasis on this like dramatic, and especially growing up with like straight culture, basically it's like this idea that everyone at some point will have this huge romantic love that will. And I think we have the like the benefit of like being comfortable with different kinds of love that are just as important, like queer family and, you know, exes and, you know, all that sort of stuff. Like, and because a lot of people don't have that from their family, that I think that sort of love is just as important.
Absolutely.
And should be, you know, just as desired.
The thing that made me realize that this sounds so shady, heterosexual people take love for granted, or the concept of love for granted, is I'm going to talk about Catfish again.
Oh, God.
But have you guys ever watched the television show Catfish?
Yes.
The amount of times these people, I'm not shitting you, will throw around the word love and fall in love with people they have spoken to for about 3 weeks online and never met. Like episode after episode, that was a story that I realized love means something different to these people than it does for me or any of the queer people that I know.
Yeah, but you look at the people on that show who have been catfished, usually there's something in their life that they're escaping or that they don't really enjoy, and that sort of connection with someone, that is a light in their life. And that is what love can be sometimes, you know, when you're with someone and you're like, oh, you know, my life is exactly the same, but you change, like everything feels a little brighter when you're around. Yeah. Sometimes. Sometimes love is just like, oh, you took out the rubbish without me asking. Oh, that feels good. Like that's, and that's it. Like we've got these sort of huge romantic notions and like they're fine, but like I don't want flowers or that bullshit. I don't want you to say I love you 1,000 times a day. Yeah. I would much rather someone acted like they loved me.
Mm-hmm.
Words are my job. I can make you feel like I love you by spitting a sonnet or whatever at you. That's not... That doesn't mean anything
feel
to me.
Feel free. I mean,
yeah. Well, look, I've been watching your eyes and, you know, footsie under the table, like, oh, and there's your banged up foot. Oh, it was real. It is everything real, is real. This is like, oh, I've been let behind the curtain.
Yeah. But it's disappointing, isn't it?
Oh, well, look, I wasn't going to say it. But the thing is, we expect this sort of big
gesture.
Love and those huge gestures, but it's the small stuff like, I remembered this, or I remembered that conversation we had 2 days ago. Like little things like that, where it's really just like there's fewer stuff that annoys you. And especially when you're in, you know, year four of a relationship and like all those people who are like on Instagram going, oh, we're still so much in love. And I'm like, we're still so much full of shit. That's,
basically, that's just... every Meg Ryan movie was a lie, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, that's, I'm not old enough to have watched Meg Ryan movies.
Fuck. Oh, come on.
No, I saw one.
She's older than you.
And it shows. No, I love you. No. Yeah, those the smaller stuff, the quiet stuff, the love we don't celebrate, the love that makes a really boring movie, that's the stuff that matters. It's the comfort.
I do remember the first time I ever said it, like in a romantic context, was when I was with my second ex and was really like exposure therapy, forcing myself to think about those feelings. And it wasn't until we was interstate. I think we were doing long distance because he was on tour or something. And the new Pokemon games had come out. And he went and bought like a Game Boy so he could play it while he was interstate. And downloaded, like figured out how to wirelessly battle me. even though that's like not his thing whatsoever.
Oh, that's cute.
And so suddenly I was like fighting Pokemon battles with my ex while he's interstate. And we did that for about 2 weeks. And I remember he called me and we had this massive argument. And it was one of the biggest arguments we'd ever had because he accused me of cheating at Pokemon. And he was like, no, I'm...
At Pokemon.
Yeah, no, no, yeah.
And you were like, Pokemon. Hugo, piss off.
But he was like, no, I know how like this Pokemon battles and that one shouldn't have been like super strong about my one. And I realized he'd like picked up all this lingo, shown a real interest in something really daggy that no one would. And so I just said, oh, I love you. Like, I love that we have this. Mm. And I think that was the first time I'd ever said that in a romantic context.
God damn it. I'm going to have to become a Patreon subscriber now because my partner got me addicted to Pokemon Go and now gets mad when I play it, where I'm just like, no, shared interests.
You yeah, totally.
That's it. This is going to be $6 well spent. $6 American dollars.
$6 American dollars.
I think there's like, I think there are pheromones that we feed off each other. Like this is, if you want to sound real dark, I think love is like a chemical reaction that two people have against each other that eventually wears off.
Yep.
And then you have the rules and the routines that you've set up during that time to sustain yourself past
and,
that.
And comfort with the sort of routine. And then also like, holy shit, we've got so much property shared. It is going to be a mess to
disentangle. And why did we buy
this?
A dog?
And these kids. Ugh.
That's what I think love is.
Oh, that's really disappointing.
I know, but I'm okay with it. I'm at peace with that. I feel sorry for the people that have to date me.
Yeah, but...
Me too.
Love is just, yeah. Love is something that you have to constantly work at. And the love in your first year of the relationship is different to the second and the difference to the third. You know, people are like, oh, the love is gone. No, the love has evolved and changed because shock horror, you're not the same person you were when you met this person. Yeah. Like, you know, my partner has a penchant for baby talk. I hate that shit. I like my sentences full. But sometimes,
I would absolutely dump your boyfriend if I was you. I don't know anything else about him, but baby talk
is
definitely
no. He got me into this podcast because we bonded over talking poofy. So I'm glad that you have just ruined his life.
No, I'm sure he's a really, wonderful person.
I'll stand outside the apartment with like a huge... I'll get one of those really old tape decks and I'll just play you that saying that on repeat.
Oh, no. Now I feel bad. I'm sure he's
but
a wonderful person.
That,
but if
like,
he talks
but
baby
sometimes,
talk to me, I don't want to meet him.
But, you know, sometimes I'll, like, do it back, that cuddly speak, and it'll just be like, oh, fuck, I hate that. But also, it's just, like, it's just that sort of private language that you have where it's, like, I wouldn't be caught dead having done this. And I probably, if, touch wood, we don't work out or, you know, we amicably split because I'm a child of divorce and I know that shit happens, I probably wouldn't have that with someone else as well. So, it just being open to the idea that love can evolve and you should let it evolve.
And it's all about framing as well. Like, I can have a friend that I love for 25 years and, like, that is sustained. So, it's, like, romantic relationships can evolve and change, but it doesn't just because the initial, like, butterflies wears off, it doesn't mean that it's not worthwhile the rest of your relationship.
And... what's funny, it's like, I can't prove that the color blue that I see is the same color blue that you see.
Oh, this
and
stuff freaks me out. When
I know. It's once you think about it, it's like, oh, down a well. And it's the same with love. Like, you know, love can be whatever you want it to be. And you have complete control over that. And if that makes you feel confident and it makes you, I'm sure if you want to go into that sort of, oh, chemical reaction stuff, it's like when we were like, you know, in the wild and we needed to feel protected or whatever. It's just that. And if you're with someone that makes you feel safe or at least gives you the space to be yourself and flourish, then yeah, that's it. That's love.
Well, that comes to a very difficult topic, difficult 20 minutes for me. thank you, everyone, for tuning in and subscribing to our Patreon. We can't do this show without you. And we have a lot of potential live shows coming up, which is very exciting. So stay tuned to that. Thank you to Beck and Will for joining us.
Yeah, thanks so much, guys. It's been fantastic having you here.
Thanks for having us.
Big fans of you both.
So. After show and the full episode.
Yeah.
You guys have put in your hours.
Yeah. I am no longer a fan. It is done. The love is gone. As you know,
losing fans one guest at a time. That's how we do it. We'll be back next week.
And Kyle will be back as well.
I think so.
Yeah. No, he won't be.
And we'll have more really fun eloquent guests next week to make up for the two You're of shitty. Us.
What's going to happen? There's only two left. Like, yeah. What's it going to be? Like,
well, this is like, it feels like Survivor where we're cutting like, yeah. down.
I'm going to have my tiki torch put out. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's gone to that awkward part where it's like you've been running for a short while now. And it's like The View, and they're starting to just wheel people out and be like, nah, Barbara Walters doesn't like you anymore. Here's a new one. Like, I'm new Kyle.
We're up to that phase of our journey. And what a time it is to be a
patron. I didn't even notice Kyle wasn't here.
Neither did I. It's been lovely this week. Anyway, we will.
We'll see you next week.
Bye,
guys.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.